For your digital download pleasure, it's Tim and Davo in podcast form.
Yeah, look, we had a bit of a weird week last week, Tim.
I agree.
I brought to the table a rumour that has been spreading around online that horses are scared of or startled by women's breasts.
Yeah, they're not about it.
Yeah, look, it came from a Reddit thread. It was basically saying a local politician said that we only cover women's breasts because horses are startled of them because they look like giant eyes.
So the eyes of a predator. And because women have larger areolas, they're more likely to be scared of women's nipples and boobs compared to males.
Yeah, so there was this video going viral online basically of a girl flashing her breasts to horses and they were startled and they ran away.
Yeah, we questioned the legitimacy of it.
Of course, so we thought in the name of science and purely just for science.
You're telling me there's no curiosity?
It was definitely a little bit, wasn't there, Tim?
Not for me. Not for me,
sorry,
you sicko.
Oh, sorry, bro. But basically, we decided to go to our gorgeous listeners and find a horse for me to go out to the paddock and do this scientific experiment.
Have you ever been offered more horses in your life, David?
It was crazy, to be
honest.
A
lot of horses across Geelong.
They were good for me.
Are you ready to hear what took place late last week?
Let's do it.
In the name of science, we are here to find out whether horses are scared of women's breasts.
Yeah, so we've landed on Davo's. Davo, what are we here to do in the name of science?
Well, I'll be flashing Digby over here, and I'm already feeling sorry about it.
I'm going to help from over there, so.
Definitely from over there, mate.
Very far off. Good luck.
I'll be back. Bit of science over here, guys.
Oh.
All right, let's do this. I feel like a bloody flasher right now. I've got my jacket over me. Like, it's not... This isn't it, Tim.
You wanted to do this.
I know, but I feel shame all of a sudden. All right. I feel like a creep all of a sudden.
It was your idea.
No, in you go. All right, Digby. I'm going to show you something. And I'm sorry. Hopefully we're cool after, all right? I mean, he's leaning in. Yeah. Ready? You gonna count me in?
Yeah, all right. 3, 2, 1. In the name of science.
Oh. Ooh. That was a startle. Oh, he's curious. Okay, no, Digby, that's inappropriate. Anything?
Oh.
Typical. This is me on a Saturday night just giving it everything I've got. No interest.
Good boy.
Science.
And, well, we did it.
There you have it. Horses are not scared of women's breasts.
No.
In fact, a little bit intrigued.
And loves a carrot. Thanks, Digby.
Thanks, Digby. Sorry, mate.
In the name of science, my friend, we went out there and gave it everything we've got.
If you want to check out the footage,
exclusively
from behind footage.
Get over to our Instagram and have a look.
Check it out at KROCK Geelong. It is up there in all of its glory. It is a beautiful. We do have to say thank you to Digby, of course. Beautiful horse in Freshwater Creek.
Yeah.
There were some horses in Winchelsea. We were also, unfortunately, there wasn't enough boob to go around.
Oh, no. And you know what? I would have loved to. But hey, here we were. There you go.
Tim and Davo.
I think I've put my foot in it pretty bad.
Okay. Again.
But this is to mostly a group of strangers.
Okay.
Happy to put my foot in it with people I know and love and work with, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't win them all.
Absolutely. You'd really like to sink that boot in as well.
Yeah. Sometimes you realise the boot's in there and you just go, well, I should probably go full throttle heel down, right? Something happened this morning at my son's swimming class of all places. And I think you'll get what I'm getting at in a moment because I think this can happen sometimes, especially if you don't have kids. It's about making promises that maybe you can't necessarily follow through with.
Oh, okay.
Now, we do swimming every week, and this morning, it's my son, and there's like 8 of us in the group, and there's like eight kids, 8 parents, whatever. My son has built up this little thing where they bring out, like, you know those mats that you can, like, little kids can run on? Like, they're floating mats. So he can and has dozens of times got up on there. So they like put him underwater. They stand up, they run to the edge and they jump off. So he's 2.5. So he's been doing it for like a year. And then 1 week he said he didn't want to. And then we use kind of like a reward as like a, hey, if you do this, we'll get you like, we'll go for a like ride on the bike. Or if you do this, we can do that. And he's
No, biscuit like dad. Usually that's how you get through things. Like we promise you a biscuit, you're like, right, I'll do it then.
Pretty
much. So not that for your son?
That's how I do, get through every show. I don't feel like it today, guys. And the biscuit just pops up. And I go, you know what?
From
today,
the palm of my hand.
I'll do it. Like I'm a good horse. Dave-o. But yeah, so he's cottoned on that he's like, oh, if I refuse to do this, I'll get stuff. And it's like, is it a bribe? Is it a reward? Every parent goes through this little cycle. Oh,
bloody kids, man.
And so I said to him, now I thought you got to be careful what you promise a kid when they're around other kids, because then the other kids will expect, they're like, well, hang on, if he's getting this or she's getting that, why aren't I getting
and
that?
And that's giving a hard time to their parents. It's the whole cycle. No
like,
good.
Like someone a few weeks ago, so generously, offered my son a lollipop, which you might as well have offered him a handgun. Just like the amount of, it's the same thing. It's so dangerous for him. Like he's the worst version of himself. If he has a lollipop, the sugar in it, the worst version of himself.
Worst version.
He sees one, but he can't have it. Mm. Equally the worst version of himself.
Absolutely.
And so I said to him, and what I thought was rather quietly, hey, mate, if you, because like we were chatting to his mum beforehand, we're like, hey, if you get up, run on the mat, jump off, Dad's going to be there. He will never not catch you. Mm-hmm. I promise you. I'll get you, when you get home from daycare, an icy pole. We've got these low sugar icy poles, like mm-hmm. Bulla. They're great. Like so great. And then he went, I get an icy pole? Yelled out loud. And then seven other children.
Icy pole. We get icy poles.
Jack gets an icy pole. And I got a look from these other parents. Like, why'd you do that, mate?
Yeah.
And I just kind of went underwater, literally, physically. I was like, well,
breaststroke out of there. Let's get out of there.
And I'm tossing up next week bringing a box of icy poles. Do I, because I feel awful, because I've been on the same, I've been on their side of it. Do I owe them and their children icy poles?
The problem is if you do that, then you're then contributing to another problem. Like maybe one of the kids isn't allowed low sugar icy poles and maybe another full sugar, probably even worse. You're then making a bigger problem for the parents. I think the kids, surely they'll forget. I mean, they're only little kids.
I would definitely put my son in the category of moves on from mm-hmm. things. You know, even though he's asked like for maybe a year now, why the door hit him, because he ran into the door. And he walks past a particular door in our house and he goes, is it going to hit me? So, like, that's – they definitely move on and forget. I think I might owe seven children an icy pole. And I wanted to hit the phones with it, 5223295. In that situation – do I owe all of the kids an icy pole?
Yeah.
Not just my son.
We're going to need to hear from some parents out there. Does Tim owe the other parents because he opened his big mouth?
Yeah, big mouth and put in a very healthy icy pole. I'm Lloyd from Armstrong Creek. I'm curious, do you think I owe these kids an icy pole?
Look, as a father of 11 years and counting, I don't think you owe them anything as much as, you know, you opened your big mouth. I don't think you owe them anything.
Okay. But it's more for the parents. Maybe I should just slip the parents a 20 each. Like, I feel bad.
Oh, mate. Well, if you're handing out 20s, can I have one as well? Like, you inconvenience me often.
Like, I feel like maybe I'm overthinking it, Lloyd, but I feel like I got the filthiest looks from these parents. Like, why'd you say that?
I think the thing that you forgot to do was, I mean, I know he's quite young, so it's pretty hard for him to understand, but I think the one thing you could have said to him is, look, mate, on the down low, you got to keep this a very, very big secret.
Secret.
But I will give you a lollipop when or an icy pole, should I say, mm-hmm. once you've done your swimming lesson, but you can't tell anybody.
Right.
It's a big secret between you and me, and he gets hyped about it.
Yeah, okay.
Knowing my son, I feel like he'd know that if I'm trying to keep it close to my chest, he'll broadcast it out there. He knows how to work me, Lloyd. But yeah, appreciate that, Lloyd. James in Herne Hill, what do you think? Do I owe these kids, these parents, some icy poles?
No, look, I don't think you've done anything wrong. I always offer my kids rewards for everything they do. They pretty much need it these days. Only thing I think you could have done differently is maybe offer an outrageous reward for an outrageous task. So if you had have said maybe do a double backflip with a bike, you know, a few things, I'll get your PlayStation 5.
Crap.
Then there's very much no likelihood of him achieving the task, and you're in the clear, mate.
Wow. I mean, that's a very specific solution. I kind of like it. I'm happy to triple down if you think, Davo, that's a smart move.
I just thought it was really interesting what James was just saying there is like, you know, you almost need a reward for anything for kids these days. Whereas when we were growing up, it was the threat of a smack.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then it's a different time, isn't it? Times have changed, James, so we appreciate your call. I think in the honour of tripling, if I've doubled down, I'm going to triple down. If you're listening right now and you're a young child, whether it's, you know, someone's picking you up, whether it's any of your parents, I promise you that they will get you a lollipop or an auntie pole before you get home tonight. So there you go. Say it's on, Tim.
Full sugar.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
We've mentioned it a couple of times and we have been playing some Irish artists, but it's St. Paddy's Day and it's always fun on these kind of days to lean in. We know there's a lot of Irish pubs or even pubs that wouldn't consider themselves Irish. They have a bit of fun today and it's booked out and there's lots of Irish people that live here in Geelong.
Massive happy St. Paddy's Day to everyone celebrating.
Absolutely. I thought we could do something very year 8 high school if you'd be keen, Davo.
Yeah, absolutely.
One part of Irish culture that I always loved, and the last time I did anything to do with this was in school, was a limerick, which is an Irish poem. Did you ever do these in school?
Of course.
So if you don't know what a limerick is, it is a 5-line poem with a strict AABBA rhyme scheme. I'll give you an example. It's normally short, there's a story, and there's a bit of a punchline in there. So the example is, there was an old man in a tree who was horridly bored by a bee. When they said, "Does it buzz?" he replied, "Yes, it does. It's a regular brute of a bee." So that's the internet's example.
There's a couple of bees in there. Yeah, I know. Well, I don't like a matching
Yeah, I know. But yeah, so but yes. What I've assigned us today, I am Mr. Grant, my year 8 historical teacher, and we have both, in our own private time, penned a limerick to read out this afternoon.
About each other.
About each other. So I'm sure this will be really nice, polite. Nothing. No unnecessary jabs. So, Davo, would you
like me to go first?
You can go first with your limerick, okay?
All right. Well, look, I had to tidy one up because the thought was a bit too choice for the radio, Tim.
Okay. Finally, your opportunity to say how you really feel about me in a barred line rhyming system.
No. Well, let's give this a crack. This one's about you, Tim. There once was a bloke who loved K-Rock fame, who swears all the mums know his name. He'll tighten and panic when things get too manic, but loosens up when biscuits enter the game.
Yeah, that's fair. There's everything you've said, as hurtful as it is incredibly truthful. Mm-hmm, there is a layer of truth in there because you hit a biscuit from me today.
I know.
And on the inside, on the outside, I was like, yeah, whatever.
But we knew
biscuit.
In
I was flying
turmoil.
Off the handles because everyone else had a biscuit but me. All right. Davo, return serve. Similar, like nothing unnecessary in here. There was once a young woman named Davo. She's lots of fun, you'd say so. She thirsts Bailey Smith. Her vaping, it's a myth. But if you offer her one, it's hard to say no.
It's all true. Yeah,
see, and that's the best thing about a limerick. It has to be true. Happy St. Paddy's Day.
Well, we're all out of internet. Until next time, this has been Tim and Davo.